हरे सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीरंधरवावहै तेजस्विनावरीरमस्तु मारुद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So that before we were hearing how Ananta had left all the snakes and gone off on penances and austerities because he thought all the snakes were not nice association. They weren't behaving nicely. So then he left and he went performing austerities, then gaining the attention of Brahma. He got the blessing that he had no obligation to his snake relations and that he will then do service for the universe by holding up the earth. Right? And Vasuki, being very disturbed about all these different things, then having gained the favor of the demigods by acting as the rope for the churning of the Mandara mountain, churning the milk ocean, then he got Brahma's blessings that only the bad snakes, the ones that always bite people and are envious and that, they'll be killed in the snake sacrifice and the others won't. But for this to take effect means that there must be the child Astuka must be born, which will be born from his sister Jarakaru, from the Brahmin Jarakaru, right? And so then Vasuki is waiting for him to, ask for a wife, then he will come and present. Because if he doesn't ask, means he's not ready. Right? That's why in the Vedic system, is when you want to know, that's when you're taught. Does that make sense? In other words, when you wanting to know is actually deserving. Does that make sense? So that's actually the platform of deserving, because otherwise we may take it just that I want something, then that means I deserve. But that wanting has to come along with the desire for the knowledge that goes with it. Right? You ever notice, like, the demons ask, give me this, give me that. I want this, you know, weapon or this ability or so many things, right? But if you notice when Arjuna, what happens when he asks for weapons? Does he say, just give me the weapon? What does he ask for along with it? The knowledge how to use it. Does this make sense? So this is the difference. Use and knowledge go together. Does that make sense? Very, very important. This is the chit potency. Chit potency means knowledge with application. Right? Means you've heard before the knowledge, but now this knowledge means how to practically apply it, right? The first stage is we hear knowledge, it's theoretical, right? Then the next stage is how to apply that knowledge, but along with the knowledge to apply, we actually do apply. Does that make sense? So that's very, very important, because you'll notice, so that's why in the Vedic system, that when one actually wants to know, then that's when one is taken seriously. Not that one does, but one does along with wanting to know. Does that make sense? That's why you'll find... Okay, so now people need attention, right? Isn't it? They need attention. They're living sentient beings. They need to be able to interact with others, right? And in that interaction, there's emotional need, right? So now, in that emotional need, it's simply because we want it, right? We deserve it, right? Does that make sense? But there has to be a qualification, right? Just like, let us say we want to eat, but is that qualification enough to eat? What is the actual qualification? Hunger. When there's hunger and the desire to eat, then eating will be successful, isn't it? What if you just want to eat but you're not hungry? What will happen? You get sick. Does that make sense? So that's why wanting input or interaction or emotion, but if you're not qualified by desiring to know, right, then it won't be successful. That emotional input will be detrimental. Right? Does that make sense? Right? This is a very important point. So, I say, because the desire to want to know brings about the ability to practice it, means then you can absorb it. Right? Otherwise, the practice, if you don't want to know and you're practicing, means you don't really want to practice. Does that make sense? You're doing it for some obligation, whatever. You know, somebody's asked you to do it, told you to do it, you know, is paying you to do it, or some reason it's going on. Does that make sense? Yeah? So that means it's just like the hunger is the thing for food, so desire to know is the thing for, you know, knowledge and actual attention, right? Because now, if we just want attention, but without the knowledge, or without the desire to know, that's animal attention, right? So that we can get, but it the result of animal attention will create a more developed animal. Does that make sense? Right? Because we're born animals, right? Because all we're interested in is eating and our own completely what we want, that's it. We have to be trained to become human, right? Where we consider, because human means sacrifice. So sacrifice means voluntarily giving up one's own need for someone else's. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. So now we put this together, then we see is, why is it in the Vedic system no one's taken seriously unless they want to know? Right? Does that make sense? The modern system means you're going to get all attention and everything, even you don't want to know, and you're behaving like an animal. With the idea that you'll become nice. But if you think about it, in your experience, does the person become nice? Think about it in reality. Right? No, because nice means you're becoming more of a human, not a better taken care of confident animal. You know what I'm saying? Because you see, the animal is nice as long as you're dealing nicely with it. But as soon as this situation is not ideal, the animal does not behave nice. Right? So in the same way, as you can give that attention, they respond nicely as long as they're in that nice emotional environment. But as soon as anything gets out of line, which the material world always does, right? There's always birth, death, old age, disease. Something goes wrong. But as soon as something goes wrong, then that nice element, seeming human element, goes away. And then we're dealing with the raw animal. Then the anger, jealousy, envy, you know, all these different qualities just come up. Attachment. Does that make sense? So that's why in the Vedic system, the desire to know is taken as the first step. And then of those who want to know, those who apply are considered better. Right? Of those who apply, those who actually understand are considered better than that. Right? Of those who understand, those who then have some realization. Right? You know, it actually becomes part of their life. And of those who is part of their life, then those who, that all that is connected to Krishna, then they're the best. This makes some sense? Just does this start to make any sense on how you'll see the difference how you're dealt with here or anywhere else? Does this make some sense now? Because Gurukul is to make you into a human being, not to make you a nice domesticated animal. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why you'll see when we're recognized as doing well. Right? Does that make sense? Because the patting on the head and, you know, giving a hug and saying a few nice encouraging words, that's the easy thing. That's a technique. You know, just like when you make a chance, how you move the spoon, or how, it's a technique. That's easy. But you can do that, and one thinks one's okay. Everything's fine. But all these bad qualities are there in the heart. And so then just one slowly, slowly goes rotten. Does that make some sense? Right? So that's why in the Vedic system is the attention is based upon, this is, we're talking brahmacharis here. The attention is based upon how much they're actually brahmacharis, means they're interested in Brahman. Brahmachari, right? Means one who is situated in Brahman. Does that make sense? Yeah? So that then is where the recognition will come, right? It's just like, let's say you go to a music school. You don't practice the music. You play very badly. So are the teachers supposed to say you're doing great and you're a nice guy? No. So if you're in a school where Brahman is what you're studying and you're not interested in Brahman, don't practice Brahman, then how are we to expect that we will be praised? Does this make some sense? Does this clear any of the doubts that one may have had on why at certain stages then we're getting more input and why at certain stages we're getting less? Sure? Right? So it doesn't. Okay, well, you're new, so there's others who understand. All right, just take, for example, one of the more touchy issues, the Chudras. Now think about it. The time when the Chudras were taken, was there a serious interest in Brahman or in the practice of it? So that was the point. And when they were given, was there? You know, don't just, you know what I'm saying, answer, but don't just automatically answer. The point is reflect. Does that make sense? So it's not something arbitrary. It's not because someone's liked or not liked. It's not some individual thing. It's just a matter if you're actually studying and practicing Brahman, then one has that position of one who does. Does that make sense? Yes? No? Very good. Okay. So this is a science, right? It's not an arbitrary thing. It's not a sentiment. Right? It's just like the mother would love to feed the child, but they have a fever. So what happens if she feeds the child? Gets more sick. Right? You starve a fever, you feed a cold. Right? So then that sentiment, if applied, is detrimental. Does that make sense? It's just a very common, that's why everything is common. And everything's made up of the same system in the cosmic creation. You know what I'm saying? So a physical sickness, an emotional sickness, an intellectual sickness, a devotional sickness, it's all the same thing. You know what I'm saying? It works on the same principles. So that's why then the method of dealing is the same, though the medium is different, right? In other words, physical, care is dealt with physically, right? Emotional care is dealt with emotionally, intellectual, intellectually, devotional. Does that make sense? So, therefore, the support as a good brahmachari, as long as one is, then you will be inspired to move forward. But as soon as one's not a good brahmachari, to be inspired that you are, then what's it going to do to you? Right? You're not going to take it seriously. You think, I'm doing fine and I'm getting everything I need, even though I'm not doing. Isn't that great? And then what'll happen? Yeah, it gets spoiled, it gets worse. Right? Does that make sense? So it's a science, it's a method. It's not just... means there's a tradition on how to take, you know, a boy and turn them into a man. It doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen automatically. Does that make sense? One has to be trained how to go from a boy to a man. And a man means he's human, he's responsible, he's sense-controlled, he's respectful, he's active, right? He knows the scriptures, he knows time, place, and circumstance, how to apply. That person will be successful no matter what he does or where he goes. Right? They'll always be successful. Right? But a person who simply is an older boy and still, you know, just wants to do what he wants to do, when he wants to do, how he wants to do, will always have trouble. Does that make sense? Does this make sense? So, it's a science. It's not something arbitrary. It's a traditional science that works. And why does it work? As we discussed yesterday, because God made it that way. Right? You know, somebody makes a machine and there's an on button. You push the on button, the machine goes on. You don't push the on button, it doesn't go on. You can say, no, but wouldn't it be so nice that it would just go on its own, or I can just look at it and it'll go on. And no, but, you know, I don't want to push the button. Why am I forced and restricted to that I have to push this button? You know, where is the freedom? Where is the individual, you know, how you say, expression, the need to be, you know, of the individual be fulfilled? Is there unique? You know, you could go on and on and on in this modern liberal nonsense forever. Right? But it doesn't make any difference. You push the button, it works. Hey, get over it. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is, you know, so one might say, just on a side point, oh, so, you know, here's the conservative. No, we're not conservative. We're not liberal. We're broad-minded. Broad-minded means you actually have the good qualities of the liberal and the conservative and avoid the bad ones. Right? Well, a liberal means they have the good qualities of a liberal and also the bad qualities of a liberal. And they don't have any of the good qualities of a conservative. Right? You know, of course they avoid the bad qualities of the conservative, but they have the bad qualities of the liberal to replace it. And the conservative has the good qualities of the conservative and the bad qualities of the conservative. And no good qualities of the liberal, but they avoid the bad qualities of the liberal. Right? So both of these are a narrow-minded, not very broad, how you say, not very universally applicable stand. And so that's what anybody who is not Vedic, the path they take. Right? That's basically automatic. The Vedic also, if you don't understand the purpose of it, you can also be liberal or conservative and misapply. Right? That's a standard mistake that the conditioned living entity makes. But from the Vedic standpoint, then one could be broad-minded. That means, what are the times when one is liberal, you do those, but the times you're not supposed to be liberal, you're not, just because you're a liberal, right? A liberal has to be liberal even if it's wrong, right? It can't be conservative by definition. Conservative has to be conservative by definition, right? So that means in situations where liberal is the best thing, someone who's broad-minded is liberal. And in situations where being conservative is the best thing, then they are conservative. That's broad-minded. Broad means it contains both. Broad means very wide. So broad-minded means it accommodates both the conservative and the liberal. Conservative means it can only accommodate conservative. And liberal means it can only accommodate liberal. Does that make sense? These are very important things, because these kind of mentalities make the whole basis of your social, how you say, viewpoint and functioning. Yes. What's the liberal and conservative mean? Liberal means that. How do you say? You accommodate others' uniqueness, but from the sentimental platform. Right? Means each individual has his own idea, what he likes, what he wants to do, how he wants to dress, how he wants to behave, right? And you can accommodate that, but it's sentimental because you have no standard to compare it to. Right? We're talking this modern stuff. Conservative means you have a standard by which you judge something. Right? Unfortunately, that standard is arbitrary because it's what a group of materialistic people have come up with. But it's tradition. It goes back in time and it practically works. But they cannot really accommodate anybody being a little bit different than everybody else. Right? You have to dress the same, talk the same, walk the same, eat the same, everything like that. Understand? So now we see the strength of the one is the ability, the liberals, to accommodate, you know, the individual need and the consideration of the individual. But its weakness is, because there's no standard, you don't actually know how to guide and train and cultivate an individual. All you can do is be sentimentally nice to them and hope for the best and hope they don't go rotten. And when they do, then you apply your liberalness. Well, what can be done? Everyone has to find their own way. Right? So, in other words, as far as yourself goes, it can create some peace. And as far as other goes, it's pleasant. But as far as training dynamic individuals, it doesn't have really any scope. Right? If somebody's already naturally good and self-disciplined, then this system, they'll come out fine. But if they're not, then they won't. They can't. Because there's no standard. A person who's self-disciplined creates his own standard, because the liberal system doesn't create any standard. They create temporary standards that today, because the wind's blowing this side from right to left, so therefore that's the standard. But tomorrow when it's blowing from left to right, it changes. Right? So it's time, place, and circumstance, but no standard to apply to that. Right? Well, the conservative then has standards, so that's their strength. But their weakness is they can't really accommodate people coming from various kind of backgrounds and situations, so they tend to be very closed in their group. You know? But because they have a standard, then those that are in the group can get quite well benefited. But if you're not within that group, that's the weakness. You can't actually reach a broad amount of persons. Does that make some sense? So then that weakness is a problem. But you know where you're going, you know what you want, and it doesn't change with anything. But there are also weaknesses, sometimes time, place, and circumstance, they can't apply their standard because they only know a very fixed way of doing it that everybody does. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, broad-minded means you have a standard by which you judge everything. And at the same time, you can accommodate somebody, wherever background or situation in life they come from. And then applying that standard onto their situation according to the time, place, and circumstance. Right? You can gradually, at their own speed, bring them from wherever they're from to the proper Krishna conscious standard. Right? That's broad-minded. That's a preacher. Right? That's a Madhyamadhikari. Does that make sense? So that's why all this modern political stuff of liberal and conservative, we're not actually interested in, because they're both right and they're both wrong. But being broad-minded means you're right, you're not wrong. Right? Being liberal conservative means automatically you're right in some situations, but you're also very wrong in some situations. But broad-minded means you can be right in all circumstances. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, so is this clear why you might find a difference in dealings? Here you'll find one kind of dealing, and other places you might find, as we defined, a more liberal and more emotionally interactive environment, but you may not be deserving of it. And if you notice that in being dealt with like that, sometimes then you go, you know, your mentality goes off. Does that make sense? Yes? No? Okay. So, because the environment, because real emotion must is based on rasa, and that like we discussed yesterday. So rasa must be based on duties. Otherwise, if it's only based on sentiment, you don't actually get to the real rasa. You only get to secondary rasas. Primary rasas aren't actually tasted. Huh? Does that make sense? Just like this. Let us say, you know, we're taking a long shot here, that possibly could you say that there's been times when either you, let's say, you have done something for one of your parents or they have done something for you, and somehow or another everything was just right, that there was at least on once on your part, if not on both parts, a appreciation of that parental exchange, right? And there was some, you know, very heartfelt, deep kind of emotional experience that's very satisfying, very comforting. Yes or no? Have we all had this? Okay. Then let us say that there's other times where we're not experiencing this, but let's say we're just laughing and joking with one of the parents, or both the parents, or just some fear, you know, you've done something wrong, or just amazement at something that they did. Right? And the two don't necessarily have to be connected. Right? But now, if you're taking the first one that we mentioned, that's very deep and it's very profound, the experience. Right? Does that make some sense? Is this make any sense back there? Yeah? But the other one is nice, but it doesn't have the depth, does it? If you think about it. Not that it's not nice, but it's not as deep. Right? You know, just like, let's say you have a sandesh. Okay, it's sweet, but let's say, you know, you have caramel. It's a little sweeter. Right? So it's not that they're both not sweet. It's just one's more sweet and more rich, and one's a little less sweet and a little less rich. Does that make sense? But they're both very nice sweets. Okay? So, now, what the Vedas are trying to teach is how to have that first one, the primary rasa, as the foundation, that it's always there. Then on top of that, you put the other seven rasas. Does that make some sense? Right? Okay? Does that make sense? So that's why just the sentiment on its own, then you'll get stuck in those secondary rasas and you never actually learn and taste what's the primary rasa. Tasting primary rasas is really what human life is about. Right? Being stuck in secondary rasas, that's more just what the animals do. Though they do taste the primary rasas, but they're just here and there. They're not constant. Right? Fear is constant, you know, and, you know, chivalry is constant, and, you know, all these kinds of things. Does this make some sense? So it's not that there's not, one could say otherwise, oh, but then, you know, there's no consideration of the sentiment. No, there's actually only consideration of the sentiment, but how to get it. Well, the modern method actually doesn't know what sentiment is, so they don't actually know what they're trying to get. And that's why even though they try so hard, with their full attachment, that they try to do their best, and they don't necessarily get a very good result. Right? So the point is result is what you would want, right? And if somebody says, well, more important the result is the experience, then we can say yes. If we want to say result is important, then we're going to say result is not coming from the modern system. Right? And if we want to say experience, no, but the experience of that trying and expressing that attachment, then yes, then why express it on the secondary platform when you can express it on the primary platform? So in either way, then Krishna's approach is more important than ignoring Krishna's approach. Right? Does this make sense? Right? Because this is the kind of stuff that Gurukul is meant to teach you. All the other subjects are to be seen in relation to all this. Right? Because those are just practical skills you use in your life. Right? It's just like this. You're expert in all the different arts, okay? But you don't actually know how to relate to someone else as a person in a very, deep way. So are your relationships going to last? No. Now let us say you know how to deal with someone very nicely, you know, people nicely on a very deep platform. But you don't have many skills. Do you think anyone's really going to care? You understand? No. So that's why this is the most important. Skills you can always learn. Right? Everybody has their ability. How much skill you can learn, that much you're going to learn. Right? But that's not, those are ornaments on something, right? Somebody looks nice, and then you put some ornaments, right? But if we take nice earrings and, you know, nice necklace and, you know, let's say put it on a pig, is it going to look good? No. So the point is ornaments enhance what's already there. So you're already a human being. On top of that, how many skills you have, then that's nice. Right? Is Hanuman known for being a great musician? Right? Is he known for being a Sanskrit scholar? Is he known for being an Ayurvedic doctor? But he's all of these. What is he known for? His devotion to Ramachandra. Does that make sense? That's the point. All these others are ornaments. Right? He's a monkey, but he's a fabulous musician. But that's an ornament. So the main thing is just like there's 26 qualities of a devotee. So out of 26, one of them is this constant principle, that surrender to the Supreme Lord. All the other 25s are ornaments on top of that. Does that make sense? So in the same way is that you're a devotee of the Lord and you understand what means human life. Right? Then all the other branches of knowledge and the different skills and arts, those are all ornaments on top of that. Does this make sense? Right? If you can understand this, you will be successful in your life. You will be, guaranteed. Right? Just because you have a piece of paper that you got from a school, say that you did, you know, 12th standard or you did your BA, MA, PhD, doesn't mean you'll be successful in life. You know what I'm saying? It's a nice thing to have, just like so is money, or so is a house, or, you know what I'm saying? It's useful, but it's no guarantee. But if you have character, you know, and you have this understanding, it's guaranteed you will be successful. Guaranteed. Because this is what the whole world is looking for. Right? You have a million self-help books out there. You have a million people running seminars on self-help. And all they're trying to teach is this. Does that make sense? So if nothing else, you can just go out and teach people this. You know? Huh? Yeah. $100 a head to attend your seminar. You know, it's like... Right? You know what I'm saying? And a lot of these people who do these courses, they don't have degrees in anything. And these are the people that are giving seminars to the people with degrees and papers that can't figure out who they are and where they're going. Does this make sense? So, therefore, it's not as much what you know, as we said in the beginning, it's the desire to know that's more important. Because if you have the desire to know, then whatever you do know, you'll be able to use. Right? And if you have that desire to know means that you want to see it in its actual essence, in its purpose, what it actually does, means to you as a person, not just academically. Right? So therefore, that's the middle point, the essential point, is the desire to know and the desire to know how to apply it in time, place, and circumstance to make it useful in your life. Right? You have that, then desire to know means you're going to hear things, shravana, and because you're practicing it with this knowledge, you'll get realization. So all the three stages will come if the desire to know is there and the willingness to practice it. Right? So that's why we do so much menial service. You know what I'm saying? If you can, you know, push a rag around the floor happily, that means you can sit down at a book. Right? Because one is pushing the body around and making it not be lazy. The other is pushing your intelligence around. Right? And then, if you can do that, then that means when it's time to do some, you know, also then that's a service attitude. But it's just you and the floor, you and the rag, you and the broom, you and the pot. Right? So if you can do that, then we can go to the higher stage, which means you and another person. But if you can't relate to a pot, you're not going to be able to relate to a person. If you can't sacrifice your time to clean the pot, how are you going to do it for a person? The pot makes no demands. It sits there all day. It's not going to complain. So when you finally get around to it, you wash it, you know, fine. But the person isn't like that. person you make them wait, you may lose a relationship. Does that make sense? So all these are very, very practical things, how to become a human being. Those who are uninformed, those who are uneducated, because educated we mean is educated in the knowledge given by Krishna and the Acharyas, that's real education. Vidyam, right? And vidyam cha, vidyam cha. Right? Avidya, vidya, avidya. Right? Vidyam cha, avidya. Avidya means it's not connected to the Vedas, that's all. It's just that simple. It can be very sophisticated, you know, whatever it is, you know, modern, whatever it is, this, you know, nuclear physics and, you know, quantum mechanics and all these different things, but it's still its ignorance. Because it's not, that person is not considered educated. Right? They're knowledgeable, they're intelligent, right? They're smart, but you can't call them educated. Because educated means who they are, who's God, and what's my relationship. Right? Otherwise, let's look. Sanatana Goswami knew Sanskrit, knew Persian. You know, he was the prime minister of Bengal. Right? Bengal meant what's now is Bengal, what is now is Bangladesh, parts of Orissa, and basically everything else, Assam and Meghalaya and Nagaland, Manipur, all that. Because technically most of that's all Bengal. Right? Does that make sense? So now, and these two, these places are the most populated places in India. Does that make sense? Okay. So Sanatana Goswami is the prime minister of that. And he's the prime minister, meaning that Nawab Hussein Shah can leave him in the capital managing the kingdom while he goes out and fights. And he doesn't have to worry about a thing. So that means Sanatana Goswami can manage a very large empire. In fact, he was managing an empire that's probably bigger than Maharaj Pratapuruja's, with more people in it. Right? And not that, and not just that he's a good manager, he's knowledgeable in the Shastras, right? He's sitting with 30 Brahmin Pandas discussing Bhagavatam. Not one, 30. Right? In Sanskrit. Plus, he can talk to the moguls in Persian. He knows Persian. So, smart man. And the first thing he said when he went to Lord Chaitanya is, I'm a fool. Right? I'm a fool. Why? I know all this. He mentions that. I know all this. I can do all these things. And I'm considered in this world a very big and scholarly and intellectual and qualified person in the material world by all the other fools. But I know I'm a fool because I don't know who I am. Right? So we don't mean just the soul. Who are you intellectually? Who are you emotionally? Who are you physically? You know those things, you'd be comfortable. Otherwise, how do you know how much emotion you need or don't need? How much intellectual prowess in that you have or don't have? Right? Does this make sense? If you know that, then you're self-realized. Self means Atma. So Atma means the body, it means the mind, it means the intelligence, it means the soul. So unless you know these four, you're not really self-realized. Of course, of these, knowing the soul is the most important. Then based on that, you know the other three. If you know the other three, don't know the soul, then not so good either. Yes.
How do we come to know?
How do we come to know?
Yeah.
By this Vedic practice. That, therefore, that's why we see is that it works on all these platforms. The devotional platform means you're learning knowledge. Right, knowledge and practice of devotional activities. You're learning knowledge and practice of intellectual activities. You're learning knowledge and practice of, you know, proper relationships and all that. And physically. Right? So that's why it goes. Otherwise, some people will criticize, it's a school, why are they doing so much menial service? They could be studying and getting so much more benefit. But the Vedas say, no, you won't get any more benefit. you get more knowledge and skill, but as a person you'll become less. Right? Like I said, you can't wash pots, you're not going to do something for someone else. You can't sacrifice your time and energy to wash a pot or clean a floor or wash your clothes or keep your locker nice. You won't be able to do that for someone else. You know? You understand? You won't be able to do it for someone else. Right? If you have relationships, means you live with people, right? So that means you have to be able to work with them, sacrifice for them. Right? So that's why brahmachari starts with things that are dead matter. Because if he doesn't wash the pot, you know, there's not going to be a riot. Right? Does that make sense? So that's where it starts. But it should be that when you graduate, you go into family life, that it's not that you're forced at that time by attachment that you start to do things correctly. Because then you don't have to practice. You're forced to, right? Now, you're a brahmachari, so that means, let's say, 5 to 25. So that's 20 years. You've already practiced, right? That means when you get married, then that means the next 20 years, you're doing things right. Right? So now let us say you don't practice as a brahmachari and you get married. That means you have to start practicing when you just got married. Right? And how many years did it take as a brahmachari to become expert?
20.
Okay. So that means, and how long is your grihastha life going to last?
25.
20, 25, 30. So that means it's only at the very end, when you're 50 years old, that you finally figured out how to be a good grihastha. And then what are you supposed to be doing? Vanaprastha, right? So now that you finally figured out, now we would like to enjoy being a nice grihastha, because you finally figured out how to relate to the wife and the kids and the family and all this, but now it's time to move on. So now, will you move on? Good chance not. So then, when will you move on? When you're 70, 80 years old, your teeth are falling out, and you can't do anything else, and no one wants you anyway, then kind of like you have to become a renounced. Right?
Or when there's some external help.
External help, you mean like a Mack truck that you didn't notice. Yeah? Yes.
Maharaj, so we were just recently discussing with one devotee who said that in Western countries, especially brahmacharis, they may be dedicated to doing seva and preaching, but still there is not this ability to make like deeper relationships, and there is not maybe even the desire or.
Yes, so it's lack of training.
So, but you mentioned this point that. There should be this own desire to learn. So, can this point be taught by others also?
Why? What do you think we're doing right now? Right? Because you have to make it aware that such things exist. You know? Then you can deal with it. Otherwise, they've been in the environment for some time. But they're not necessarily taking advantage of the environment fully or recognizing what is the environment. Right? You know what I'm saying? Because there are other environments that are attractive, you know. Does that make sense? What we're trying to point out is this environment, if you perfect this, then all those other environments that you're attracted to, you'll be able to use properly. But if you can't get this one right, those ones won't be right. Does that make sense? Yeah? Like that. So that's the idea. Okay? So any other questions on this? So does this make some sense on how the system works? What are the priorities? And that's why. It means everything that's there is what's in any other school. But the priorities are different. Therefore, the proportions of them and all that change. And because of this, persons who are, you know, uninformed think that they're not there, because that's not what you talk about primarily. Right? In the Vedic, first is character. Right? Then knowledge. Right? Because if it's not character, the knowledge may be misused. But in the modern, they just talk about knowledge, they don't talk about character. They hope it just happens. But they have no system to create it. Right? They do not have a system. They may say they do, but where is it?
Huh. And then most people with the knowledge end up being, causing problems inside.
Yeah. It means you have knowledge, so now you can make an atom bomb or something, you know, do something useful with it, right? Does that make sense? Okay. Does that make sense? So it's just everything's there, but it's just in a different proportion. So the more it's understood and the more it's applied, the more you can get out of the system. Yeah? Okay. Continue. Okay, so now the question came up about that the sages want to know what's the meaning of Jarakaru, you know, which means, you know, huge waste. It means they have a very good physical body, but by austerities they wasted away to nothing. So that's big waste. Right? Okay. And so then, so now they continue. The virtuous Saunaka, when he heard this, smiled and addressing Ugrasravas said, "It is even so." Right? Ugrasravas is Sutta, right? That's his name. Sutta Goswami means he's a Sutta, right? And then he's in the position of a Goswami, right? He's renounced. You could be a Sutta and be a householder, like this, you know, or yeah, generally, but it's like the Goswami meaning either like Sutta, you don't, not sure if he's married or not, but they're engaged just in spiritual activities, just describing, you know, the Puranic literature. Okay, so Sutta Goswami is a position. His father was also known as Sutta Goswami, but his father is Rama Harshana Sutta Goswami, and he's Ugrasrava Sutta Goswami. Does that make sense? So sometimes he's called Sutta, sometimes Sauti, meaning he was what, the son of Sutta, even though he's Sutta. You know, the son of Sutta, you know, Sutta Junior. You know, Sutta Junior the third, right? Okay. Right? Yes?
Why does it still occur to us as Sutta when he seems to be called as a brother?
Because here, one a Sutta, the Sutta is an occupation. Now, it can take a Brahminical form, meaning describing the Shastras. It can take the Kshatriya form in that he does the Kshatriya duties. Like that, just he may be, you know, more interested in, you know, stories and stuff like that. You know, like the kings afterwards like to hear lots of stories, you know, so like that. It can take the form of, you know, a high-grade Shudra in that they're charioteers. That means they're mechanics, they're carpenters, they can build the chariot. Charioteer doesn't mean he just drives a chariot, it means he can make a chariot. So that means they're a mechanic, you know. They can design them, they can create them, they can maintain them. You know, they have to be very expert with horses, you know, like this. They have to know everything about horses and all that. Then the lowest end, where it basically means out of the Varnashram system, Sutta, is they trap small animals, right? You know, they don't like hunt, how you say, trap elephants and stuff. You know, they snare little things, you know. So the Sutta mentality, depending upon its purity, can function on any of these four levels, right? So he's functioning as a Brahmin, so he's accepted as a Brahmin, but he's performing a Sutta occupation, right? You know, just like a doctor, he's a Brahmin, but you call him a Vaidya. You know, you could say, oh, why not call him a Brahmin? The Vaidya means Brahmin here in this case, and so Sutta in this situation means a Brahmin, right? They're not going to have a Kshatriya telling the sages. Okay? That makes sense. Shonaka then said, "I have heard all that thou hast before recited. I desire to know how Astika was born." Sauti, on hearing these words, began to relate according to what was written in the Shastras. Sauti said, Vasuki, desirous of bestowing his sister upon the Rishi Jarakaru, gave the snakes necessary orders. But days went on, yet that wise Muni of rigid vows, deeply engaged in ascetic devotions, did not seek for a wife. Right? He was still just doing his austerities as a brahmachari. He hadn't met the forefathers yet. That high-souled Rishi engaged in studies and deeply devoted to asceticism, right? See? Study and some kind of activity. Right? So, like that. So, he's not washing pots. He's, you know, being austere. So, you know, take your pick. Good food, wash pots. No wash pots, no good food. You know, it's your choice.
Not any food.
No any food, yes. No any food, you know. Okay. That's a good one. It's your choice. You like good food? Hey, pots are there. You know, you don't like good food? Hey, no pots are there. Right? That high-souled Rishi engaged in studies and deeply devoted to asceticism, his vital seed under full control, fearlessly wandered over the whole earth and had no wish for a wife. Afterwards, once upon a time, there was a king, O Brahmana, of the name of Parikit. So now you're going to get to how all this happens, right? So this is the story, in the story, right? Born in the race of the Kauravas, and like his great-grandfather Pandu of old, he was of mighty arms, the first of all bearers of bow in battle, and fond of hunting. And the monarch wandered about hunting deer and wild boars and wolves and buffaloes and various other kinds of wild animals. Right? Most of these animals are ones that give trouble, but deers, they're hunted because of their speed. Right? Means you want to shoot someone on a chariot. You know, chariots aren't slow. Right? And a good charioteer can make them move all over the place. Does that make sense? So deers are like that. Plus the deer's running, it's not like an open field. It's in a forest, means there's trees. Right? So there's things in between who you want to shoot with the arrow and you. You know, there's other warriors, there's elephants, there's, you know, broken chariots and, you know, like that. Does that make sense? So that's why deers would be hunted, even though they're not a threat. But these other things, the wild boars and the lions, the tigers, the wild buffalo, right? You know, we see these, you know, domesticated buffalo. But wild buffalo, even lions are afraid of them. Because they're, it means these guys are crazy, but they're kind of a real
controlled
crazy, right? You know? Like that, you know, as long as you don't get in the way of the grass they want to eat or something, you know. But the wild buffalo, they're absolutely crazy. Like that. They're just nuts. So they're dangerous, these things. So then the sages live in the forest, so if there's too many of them or they're giving trouble, then the kings go and keep them in control. At the same time, they practice their weaponry because they're not always having a battle, right? Does that make sense? One day, having pierced the deer with a sharp arrow and slung his bow on his back, he penetrated into the deep forest, searching for the animal here and there. Like the illustrious Rudra himself of old, pursuing in the heavens, bow in hand, the deer which was sacrificed, itself turned into that shape after the piercing. No deer that was pierced by Parikit had ever escaped in the wood with life. This deer, however, wounded as before, fled with speed, as the proximate cause of the king's attainment to heaven. Right, so, in other words, now we're getting something, there was an arrangement here. Right, because otherwise you shoot the deer, they go and find it, and then, you know, job done, and you go sit down and go back to camp and have something to drink and eat. Right? But this deer disappeared, and so he's wandering, 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 till he's so tired and thirsty, therefore he's going to, you know, put the snake and get cursed. Right? So this is all an arrangement. And the deer that Parikit, that king of men, had pierced was lost to his gaze and drew the monarch far away into the forest. And fatigued and thirsty, he came across a Muni in the forest, seated in a cow pen and drinking to his full the froth oozing out of the mouths of the calves, sucking the milk of their dams. Right? So he only drank the froth that fell from the mouth of the calves. He wouldn't even take the milk. Milk was for the calves. And approaching him hastily, the monarch, hungry and fatigued, raised his bow, asked that Muni of rigid vows, saying, O Brahmana, I am King Parikit, the son of Abhimanyu. The deer pierced by me hath been lost. Hath thou seen it? And what and that Muni, observing then the vow of silence, spoke not unto him a word. Right? And the king in anger thereupon placed upon his shoulder a dead snake, taking it up with the end of his bow. The Muni suffered him to do it without protest. Right? Means the Muni wasn't, you know, how you say, in ecstasy about it. But, you know, because the king did it, then he, you know, like that. He could understand he's asked a question and I'm not giving him an answer. He shouldn't be upset because I'm a Muni and I perform these kind of vows. That's what we do, right? That's our occupation. You hunt, I do, you know, vows. So it shouldn't happen. Right? But, you know, the king is so fatigued, they're in the mode of passion, they do stupid things like this, like that. And not that their stupidity doesn't get a reaction, but they do it. And so, therefore, he suffered it. Right? And didn't say anything. Plus, he was doing a mount of ratha, he couldn't say anything anyway. Right? And the king, seeing him in that state, cast off his anger and became sorry. And he returned to his capital, but the Rishi continued in the same state. The forgiving Muni, knowing that the monarch, who is a tiger amongst kings, was true to the deities of his order, cursed him not, though insulted. That tiger amongst monarchs, that foremost one of Bharata race, also did not know that the person whom he so insulted was a virtuous Rishi. It was for this that he had so insulted him. Right? So we see also here a difference in between this rendition. And the other one is he was in trance, right? And so it just means it's a higher level pastime, right? Same pastime, but just on a higher level. And here he was actually active and awake, but he didn't answer, and so then he was insulted right there while he's awake. Does that make sense? But the king, upon seeing that he didn't get insulted as such, and continued on being silent, then he understood, oh, he must be doing a vow of silence. Otherwise, then he would have said something. If he didn't answer, okay, he's not answering, being rude. But even after being insulted, he's not answering, so he must be on a vow of silence. So the king felt bad and went back to his capital. But he didn't. He just thought he was a Brahmin in the forest. He didn't know he was a great Rishi. Right? Anyway, even a Brahmin in the forest shouldn't be insulted. Yeah? Does that make sense? Right? So we can see there's a slight difference in the level of the Bhagavatam. So that's taking the topmost manifestation of this pastimes. And then in the other literatures, you'll see the same things, but generally the lower levels are being presented. You know? Yeah? Okay. Words here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
ডেকোরেশনগুলোকে লাগানো ঢোকাতে কষ্ট হয়ে যায় নিজে গান করতে সেটা সেটা অনেক অনেক ভাবে লাগানো যায় খুব কনফিডেন্স থাকে আচ্ছা ওকে নমো জগন্নাথায় সু